You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks. DJ and my buddy Lance Zernline here from Mobile, Alabama. We are, to set the scene for you, we're actually in my room. We are getting a chance to hang out. We went to practice today. We're going to talk on that, Lance, about what's going on down here at the Senior Bowl.
Yep.
We'll hit on that. It's going to be draft heavy today, so we'll have plenty of time to get into the Super Bowl preview in the future. But today, talk a little bit about what we saw at the Senior Bowl, as well as the top 50 list just dropped today. So we'll have some fun with that as well. What's up, man?
Not much. Just all the hours and hours of watching guys, you know, on tape. As you know, it's just a little different when you see them on tape. And then, you know, I'm starting to write late October, and I write November. So I'm working almost 7 days a week writing these guys. But then it's funny, you go back to different players later in the process when you're watching someone else and the guy you've already written up, you watch them like, wait a minute, did I see him right? And then you come out here to the Senior Bowl and you want to see what guys look like physically. And then you watch them again and you got to go back to your notes and say, boy, did I write this up? And I guess one of the cool things is that when you do write, you know, when one of the things that you put on your scouting report shows up on tape out here, or not on tape, out in person, I think that's really that's a lot of fun to see that. But, you know, there are other guys that make you, and it's what it's supposed to do, make you go back and say, okay, I want to make sure I'm right on this, because this guy was a lot better. I'll give you an example. Christian Jones from Texas. I mean, to me, he's a day three right tackle only, a little bit stiff, and yet I thought he had a really good practice today. Showed some ability to anchor. He, you know, had some good run blocks as well. I thought Christian Jones is the type of guy who, you know, that's what these games are for. They're to go good on good and give you a chance to raise your stock in it. And I don't know if Christian Jones raised his stock yet, but he trended in that direction, at least for today. So it's fun to see what they look like out here, and then just to see the one-on-one competition. I mean, I know some people like teams, and for me, I just love watching the one-on-one competitiveness.
Yeah, I mean, that's really, you know, kind of what the All-Star games are all about. And we'll get to the top 50 list here in just a little bit. But, you know, as we're kind of jumping into what we've seen here at the Senior Bowl, it's tough, though. You got to be careful, because a lot of times you'll have your report on somebody, and it could be you have your eyes trained to see the one good thing that you fell in love with the player, and you ignore the nine bad things that you're seeing with
your
eyes.
It's a confirmation bias.
100%.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful as you're doing that. One thing, as we kind of get into some of these guys here, I find it helpful for those that, you know, want to get into this. And there's a lot of people from college personnel departments that listen to the show, a lot of aspiring scouts as well. I would say it's not enough just to watch players and to rank players. You need to write players. You need to write summaries on them, because at least take detailed notes and type those notes into your computer. Because what happens is you watch them and you watch them. Say you watch a guy for an hour and a half. There's that one moment that sticks in your head, and that can cause you to be too high or too low. But when you're forced to go back through all your notes and then write them out, as we say often in the draft room, like, he reads a little better than your grade, or he doesn't read quite as well as your grade. Like, that's a good way to kind of check some balances within your own individual personnel department.
It is interesting. And, you know, so my process is I still like to write things down because it's, I don't know, just out of habit. It also reinforces, I think, of the way I want to phrase it, because I've got 500 of these to write. So phraseology sometimes for some of the better players, I like creating some clever phrases and things. Just kind of keeps me entertained, I guess. But I always start on the top are the pluses, on the bottom are the minuses. I draw a line right in the middle of the 8.5 by 11 paper, and it is amazing sometimes. I'll go through a player and I'm like, holy crud, I've got like, I'm filled up with about 14 pluses. I remember I did that with Josh Downs last year, and I really liked Josh Downs, but I just did that with a guy from, I don't know, I think it was a cornerback from South Dakota. He's not at this game, but you know, it's just, it's funny that when you go through your notes, and when you see the amount of pluses you have and the amount of minuses, and then you think of what your grade is, and you see, wait a minute, I'm a little heavy on the minuses. Why am I giving him this grade? You have to go and see what the minus is. And sometimes they're not a big, you know, it's not a big deal. And sometimes you're writing the same thing 3 or 4 times. Doesn't do this well. Had trouble with this. And you realize, okay, I just wrote down the same thing multiple times, but that means I saw it a lot. Mm-hmm. So that's a problem. But I think the other great thing about writing notes is I was told this by an NFL general manager years ago. He said, you know, the really good thing, and I've noticed this with people who work in the NFL, the ability to get to what you see quickly and to be concise, because it's not my strong suit. I'm not a concise person. But to be able to say who a guy is in about 5 sentences is, you should be able to boil a player down like that. And do you think that's feasible? Did you have to do that in the league?
So there was guys who wrote extremely long reports that I worked with. And so I'm trying to pull up one. I've been searching for one as you've been talking here. I'll find it. But I used to always try and challenge myself to see how condensed I could make it. And then doing the stuff that I do for NFL.com, if you want to look up the top 50 reports there. So I just have to publish the 50 summaries. When I put those on there, I can word count, you know, on your Word document. So 150 words is kind of my target. And I'm okay with being anywhere below it. I just try not to go above it. And I find that the reports that I feel like are the most succinct are usually the easier players to write, usually the more accurate grades. The more you're having to explain something, that's usually not a great sign.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. I also think why it's important to be out here at events like this is that, you know, you kind of, I think it's cool to go see what's Mike Tomlin doing? What's he looking at? What's his demeanor like? I saw Chris Ballard talking to Jay Norvell today on the sideline. You know, if you're a fan of football, if you're a fan of the draft process, watching which different GMs, Ryan Poles and his number two, Ian Cunningham, were, you know, they're really locking in on O-line, D-line, which O-line is not a huge weakness for them. I mean, I know they need a center, but Darnell Wright came along, Braxton, I think they're happy with. So, but, you know, everyone's always looking for rush, and this is a really good year for pass rush. And we saw some of that in the Senior Bowl today. We saw some of those rushers that are going to be talented on the next level.
I was trying to find this report, and I don't know. Couldn't find it, man. I was so proud of myself because you're just trying to come up with different ways to say things. Oh, here it is. I found it. Okay. Malachi Corley.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's the first time I've used this word in a report. I don't know why I was so proud of myself. It's a pretty basic word. I just don't use it. It's a cool spelling. Wasn't asked. This is in the middle of the report. Wasn't asked to run a lot of traditional routes in the system at Western Kentucky. But I don't see any physical limitations or stiffness that would preclude him from developing a more diverse route repertoire. Route tree. And it, you know, yeah. I've written route tree a million times. Let's get a new word in.
Route there. Repertoire is great. Boom. I've used it, but not enough. And I'm going to steal it.
Yeah. Hey, it's all yours.
I invented a new one this year for Ladd McConkey.
Yeah.
And it just came to me after I watched him. I said, you know how we talk about guys having rush plans? Like what running backs having or defensive ends having rush plans. You got to have a rush plan. You know, you're thinking about what you're going to do. You're setting guys up. You're going to go this way and this way and your first two, and then you're going to hit them with this counter move. And I said, I'm watching McConkey. I think he's got route plans. Like he is working through how he's going to do this with his routes. And so I used the phrase route plan. this year, because I think that's what he does. I think Ladd McConkey, Ricky Pearsall, I think I'm trying to come up with who the other one. I've seen a really guy who was really clever with his routes in the second round, I think. See, Van Jefferson's one of the best route playing guys when he was out here. But I think that's a real thing too. I think there are clearly some wide receivers who make it a point to set you up, just like a pass rusher may set you up.
No, that's 100% true. But do you find yourself searching for new
I've got thesaurus. Dude, I've got all my bookmarks on the top.
Yeah.
I've got a thesaurus there. And absolutely, I'll say exciting. Give me a synonym.
Yeah.
I need a synonym for electric. I need a synonym for explosive.
Dynamic.
Dynamic, yeah. And I've written almost 5,000 of these now. So yeah.
I should have consulted it again when I wrote these, but we have a document from way back in the day with the Ravens where we sat and just brainstormed terms at training camp one year, and we were just firing them out one after another, just shotgunning them out. We printed them out, and so then we gave them to everybody. So it was just like your own little scouting thesaurus there to be able to tap in. But like I find it interesting when you're writing players at the same position,
yeah,
a bunch of them in a row. Like, yeah. It doesn't, like, if you just jump around, you don't even realize you're saying a lot of the same things. But if you're doing it one after another, and I'm like, yeah, I've written that this tackle explodes out of his stance 5 reports in a row now. I got to say that differently, even though it's just what you see in him.
Off the mark quickly.
And then you're doing receivers, and he's a long strider. So then I went from long strider. He's got a gliding stride to he's almost kind of floats as he runs. You know, like you're just trying to – it's so dumb, but you're going to say the same things.
I've got something. This is things I've gotten from other scouts, coaches, things like that. Here are some attitude and finish. Dominant and trench. Let me see. Second reaction plays is something that Greg – I heard Greg
– I told you my mind that I don't know. I'm sure that others have used it, but I'm claiming it as my own because I hadn't heard it on TV, and so that I've used it a bunch. Was exhausting the down.
Wait, say it again?
Exhausting the down.
So that is a play extender.
That's to me as a quarterback who's not going to throw the ball away. He's not going to take the first read. He's going to exhaust every millisecond of time that he has in order to try and make a play.
I do that with running backs in terms of squeezing max yardage out of the run, but that's a great phrase, exhausting the play. That's a really – Dane Brugler does a good job of coming up with these – cockamamie words that make me feel jealous. Let's see. Break-even strength. Offensive lineman with break-even strength, I think, is a decent term for neutralize.
Well, here's one for you. Have you ever – we had our old scout with the Ravens for offensive lineman used to use the term a wood hauler.
No. What's that?
So – and now I'm in my room. I'm going to show Lance this so you don't get to see it. But if you think about it, if you pick up a bunch of wood and you're – hauling wood and you're leaning in your back.
In
other words, you can't drop your knees and bend your knees as in pass protection, but you've got to kind of like thrust back. You're holding on for dear life as you're getting bent backwards, like you're carrying a big old load of wood.
That's great. I'm looking at a lot of these. I've never used this one. Can hold the line of scrimmage but won't change it. Okay. I got that from an offensive line coach. Closes cushion, attacks leverage against man. Let's see, fight through contact on route stand. That's easy ones, but one about saving the catch box. There's all kinds of little things. Clog the drain, defensive tackle.
There you go.
A drain clogger.
Here's one for you. And we'll get into some more players. I know people want us to get back to the players here, but one of the things that I've become big on over the last few years, and this goes back to really something Andy Reid said when I was with the Eagles, which was just, you know, everybody either brings energy or they suck energy from the building. Yeah. I find myself more and more guys that when you're watching them.
I thought you were going to say you're an energy sucker.
Yeah, interviews, you're going to get a chance for their personality. There's some guys, you can feel them through the tape. You can feel their energy. There's a bounce to them. There's an excitement with how they play the game.
Well, Malachi Corley is that guy.
That's what I'm saying. I find myself gravitating more to those guys and giving those guys bumps.
Zay Flowers was that guy.
Yeah.
You could feel it. Tank Dell was that guy. Like, you could feel those guys on tape. Mm-hmm. And if you watch long enough, you do start to feel certain players. And then there's other players that you're like, I haven't written anything on my paper at all. I haven't written a plus, a minus. I got to start looking for things I can write for pluses and minuses because I want to get to the next guy. But Yeah, there are certain guys.
That was to me last year with Witherspoon.
It's crazy that you say that because Witherspoon is, I love the ball skills, but there were some elements of his game that I struggled with. I didn't have as big a number on him as some others did, but I thought he was good. You know, I think he's still good. A lot of times that'll be that way for me with offensive linemen, with safeties. Safeties for me, oh my gosh, it can be a long run with a safety. But what I've noticed is if you're not flashing enough, like usually if I'm having to wait and I can't really find a lot of things, then that's not great. No. Typically, because you're not, I mean, there needs to be something that bounces off the charts. I'll tell you an energy guy this year, Jared Verse, who's not here.
Oh, yeah.
If we want to talk about one.
Stick of dynamite explodes.
Well,
in the field.
I mean, Latu from UCLA. Mm-hmm. I mean, you see him and you feel him on tape. And there's a few of these guys that play with so much energy. Florida State, Fiske.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, yeah, he had a good day today. All right, let's do this real quick. Yeah. I don't know if you can do this off the top of your head. Let's just do four guys each. We'll just go every other one. Just a guy that stood out to you. And all started off with Fuaga, the tackle from Oregon State.
Yeah.
I watched him. I thought his tape's as good as any tackle in this draft class. He ended up being my third tackle, but was he my third tackle? No, he's my second tackle. So wow. I had Alt and then Fuaga. I had him as my second tackle. And I'm telling you, man, and seeing him in person, he carries 330 pounds well. His arms are a little bit longer than people thought they would be. And he was pretty dominant out here day one. So I'm sitting here going, is he in the mix to be the first tackle? I think he is. I think he's that.
But
talented.
Is he right only?
Oh, I think he played left.
You think he played left?
No, I don't have any.
But I don't think he has played left.
He would translate over.
One of the things my dad told me about this is he had Max Starks in Pittsburgh, and everyone thought Max is right. But the fact is, Max couldn't really. There are some offensive linemen who just don't feel, just like hitting right-handed and left-handed. Some guys don't feel the same.
Here's my question.
In a certain direction.
The Detroit Lions. You think they're getting value out of their right tackle?
Well, yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, do teams value a right tackle that early inside the top eight?
I just don't think you really look at it as much as right and left.
You really
anymore.
Can't anymore. Certain teams really won't if they already have a good left tackle.
You're going to see the best pass rushers in the league on that side.
Yeah.
So
TJ Watt comes in on that side a lot.
Yeah. So, anyways, he was my number one takeaway today.
I'll stay offensive line because I wrote an article about this guy who I thought really helped themselves. I thought Tyler Guyton was fantastic. Really, on tape, I liked him a lot. He's only got 1,000 snaps, a little over 1,000 snaps.
15 starts.
How many snaps? It's like 1,054, I think. Yeah, and but man, is he talented. Like on tape, he's as talented as probably most of the tackles in this draft, but he hasn't played as much. He uses his hands well, but I thought he did a really good job. The combination of being able to anchor against bull rushes and then being able, he got hit with a couple spin moves. And when you use independent hands, meaning not a two-hand punch, you're able to really corral, you know, the spinners. And I thought he did a great job handling counters, handling strength. I thought Tyler Guyton did a really good job. This is a very deep tackle draft, as you know. And he's one of those guys, to me, DJ, that could fly up the board.
If I told you he's a 10th or 12th pick, I mean,
it's not going to be a huge. Right now,
he's my 17th player.
Yeah. So I mean, right now, he's not going to be that high. But after this week,
I wouldn't shock
you. You know, it wouldn't shock me because he's long. He's big, long, talented. He's 34-plus-inch arms. He's 6'7", 2 or 3, 20-something. So, I mean, this guy's got great size, athletic feet, good hands. He's going to go higher than some people probably think.
Yep. So there's a couple offensive linemen. Let me get us to some players outside that position. Let's go to the defensive side of the ball. Gabe Hall from Baylor. Gabe Hall is 6'0", 5'6", 290.
How does he look on the hoof?
Oh, my gosh. And he's got 34 3/8 arms. So he is big. He is long. He's got that kind of looping arm over from the three technique. You saw him win several times in one-on-ones today with that little swim move. But he reminded me, just watching him do that, I'm like, that kind of gives me like almost a little bit of a Trevor Price vibe. Like,
I thought you might say Kinlaw.
Well, I compare him to Menehu, is like who I thought he was, but he's much. I don't think Menehu was that big. He's 290 pounds.
Menehu, no, Gabe Hall's bigger. Yeah.
So Gabe I haven't done a lot on him, so I got to watch his tape. But I was excited what I saw today.
He's got some flashes on tape. It's a little inconsistent, but when you see guys that look like that, those traits usually go higher than any flashes. It's the same move I saw a lot, the arm over, but it kept winning time and time again. I'll go on the defensive side. I thought Chris Braswell did a nice job today from Alabama. He's got a diverse set of skills as a pass rusher, but I didn't think he's real good against the run at Alabama. But I tell you what, he was ultra physical today, really getting, you know, Alabama guys are always going to be very technically sound on the offensive line and defensive line. You know that going in, they're going to be able to play the run. You know, their hands are going to be where they're supposed to be. They're very technically sound. But I'll tell you what, I thought he was extremely physical at the point of attack. Some of the stuff about, you know, physicality and how he would play the run, he kind of made me interested in going back and see if I saw him this physical on tape, because in any bull rush, Patrick Paul right into the quarterback on one. And you know, Paul's a big guy with long arms, but Braswell, to him to crank up that power. And the knock on him really is that he hasn't played a ton of football, because he's been sitting behind some pretty good players at Alabama. He finally got a shot and he really elevated his play. So I thought Chris Braswell had a good game, a good practice today.
He's my 46th player. And you talk about the whole bunch against the run. So he's two different guys against the run. So when they line him up tight and he's in like a four eye and he's
no good for
he
him.
Gets killed. That's not who he is. You're asking him to do something that's not who he is. I thought when he was out on the edge, I thought he was a firm edge setter on perimeter runs. I thought he made plays in the backside from chase against the run. I said the last line, overall Braswell has room for improvement, but I thought he had three down potential. And then as a rusher, he didn't have a lot of success rushing through the numbers. You know, he's got kind of that unique little chop, you know, that little jump, chop, rip move where he literally is up in the air using his hands, which is a way to get your –
There's a lot of guys using that move
now. It's kind of funky.
It's the third step, and they take a long jumping.
Yeah.
And then Austin Booker from – I mean, there's been a lot of guys using it. Leto uses it too. Yeah. A lot of guys
which
do.
Just, it's, but, what,
you do you not like it? Because if you get caught –
Because you get caught, you're
flat,
on the ground. You're on your feet in the ground.
Yeah.
So, anyways, but that – he has had success other ways getting the quarterback, not – just through your chest. I didn't think he had that pure power. And today he flashed a little bit of that power. So that was good to see. That's a good one there. I'll just give you one more here. Let's go to the wide receivers, and let's go with Roman Wilson from Michigan. He had an awesome day, man. He can fly. He's going to run low 4.3s, man.
So I think
maybe
that
better.
Let me ask you this. When I watch him, so I just got done watching C.J. Stroud. And when you watch a quarterback with that level of accuracy, you realize – I mean, if Roman Wilson played for the Texans in Bobby Slowick's levels concept with and where he gets to travel around the field across the hashes, and it's not a bunch of start stop stuff with his low 4.3 speed, and you have an accurate quarterback thrown to him, he had 12 touchdowns this year. He never got to 1,000 yards at Michigan, but that's the offense. I think if he gets with an accurate quarterback or with a good team that needs him, like you stick him with Kansas City.
You're talking about a team that has an accurate quarterback, needs some speed, and maybe is familiar with him. I don't know. I was really struggling to come up with one.
Who could you come up with?
I don't know. I mean, gosh, where does Coach go again?
Let's see, Chargers.
Yep, that's one.
I know, and then you have Justin Herbert. I mean, I think Roman Wilson. He's going to work out of the slot. Although he's got speed to play outside, they ran him out. They ran him from the slot a lot at Michigan. But I thought Roman was great today. And you know what else? He actually is better with contested catches. I always go look at contested catches with every receiver.
I keep that stored on my computer.
Yeah, he's a better contested catch guy than you would think for a guy who's 185. Way better. And it's not unusual to see guys who don't do well on contested catches who are smaller. Xavier Worthy from Texas. He's not at this game. Just not a good contested catch guy, and it bothers me. Roman Wilson, pretty good
My favorite number, by the way. It's cool with PFF Ultimate. You can pull up all these stats, and we have all these collections. Me and Lance talk about this nerdy stuff all the time. But my favorite of all of them, and I put like the top, I don't know, maybe 25 or so wideouts as I had them ranked, and I want to see some different numbers. So one of my favorites is this one because he's at this game. So you've got Devontae Walker from North Carolina receiver, right? Tez Walker.
Yep.
average depth of target, 18.6.
That's all okay? he does is he's okay. gone.
Malachi Corley, average depth of target, 6.1.
So just so people know, Malachi, my comp on him is Debo.
He's 215 pounds of pure violence.
He is a violent, violent player. He is such a physical runner. I mean, he's
the
guy that
709 yards after the catch, which is the most.
But I don't, you know, you used to kill guys for stuff like that. I don't care anymore because
get in his hands and let him go.
You know who he is. Like, you know who he is, who he's going to be. And so what's going to happen is when you have him, you're going to have a plan for him because it's clear what type of a player he is and how you're going to use him, or at least how you should. So, yeah, that's a good one. I like Roman Wilson a lot. And Corley is a different, completely different flavor of ice cream. And yet you need to have, Shakir, Khalil Shakir from, he was the same kind of guy. Yep. A lot of short target stuff, but he's super competitive.
Yep.
Just show me a guy who's good at football and is really competitive and they're going to play. That's how it works. Now, one of those guys is Ladd McConkey for me. Mm-hmm. So Ladd McConkey is about 187 pounds, about 5'11". That's not bad size from a slot. Although they used him outside at Georgia. He's going to run really fast. He's fast on tape. He can push it down off the field. But, man, he was snapping routes off. And I mentioned it earlier, the route plan. I think his ability to create separation – all over the field, you know, on all three levels, I think he can do it, is why he's really going to stand out. I think he's going to go in the second round. And I think for me, McConkey is one of those guys that is going to be a helpful starting slot early on in his career. And I just think he has what it takes to get open.
Yep. I think of the name I brought up the other day with him was the why am I blanking on his name? Out of UCLA for the Titans.
Oh, Phillips?
Yep.
Yeah, Kyle Phillips.
Yep. He's got a little Kyle Phillips to him, too.
Yeah. And Kyle was like, quick, I think.
Polished.
And then, you know, Kyle was very polished. He's great.
McConkey's faster. Too. Yeah. But so we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll jump into a couple nuggets on this top 50. And then we'll let you run here, let you get out of here as we come to you live here from Mobile.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all. But here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean.
Yeah. But I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
All right, Lance, I do want to touch on one other number, one other PFF number, and then we'll lead us right into the top 50. So I'm a huge Roman Dunze guy.
Uh-huh.
You are a big Roman Dunze fan.
I like him.
So I have on my top 50 list, I have Caleb Williams. He comes in at number one. Marvin Harrison's number two. Uh-huh. Roman Dunze's number three. Didn't get a lot of talk from people on social media about the first two. Nobody seems to have any issue with that. Boy, people do not understand how I can be so high on Roman Dunze. Let me just give you one, just one little snippet nugget here. We talked about contested catches a little bit ago. How about can you finish in the blood area? Can you finish?
Okay, was he 20 of 30? Is that what, do I remember that?
His contested catch percentage is 67.7%.
Yeah.
So that seems like a pretty good number. Let me put it in context for you. The next closest one of the top, I've got 22 receivers, the top 22 receivers in the draft. The next closest one was at 55.6. So he's 12%.
Who is that? Do you remember?
That's Aeneas Smith, who we have out here from A&M. Little guy. And then,
so that's not even, doesn't even really count to me.
He's not even a big guy who's in, had a bunch of these things. So, well, let's compare him. Okay, well, how about with Marvin Harrison Jr.? Marvin Harrison Jr. on contested catches caught 41.2%.
Yeah.
He was 67.7%.
Yeah.
And this dude can run every route. He is, I think he's, what, 12 pounds heavier than Marvin? He's 217 pounds. He's going to run a low 4.4s, low to mid 4.4s, 217 plus pounds. I comped him to Larry Fitzgerald.
That was my comp, too.
And he's
I think he's my comp, or is that?
Or did you have him for Marvin? I thought you might have had him for Marvin.
He might be for Marvin.
But anyways, yeah, these guys are, they're close. Marvin was weighed in the spring by scouts.
Where'd you have Neighbors?
He was 217. I have Neighbors, the third wideout. Neighbors, I have at 7. But here's the thing. We talked earlier about when you write guys, right? You watch them, you slap a grade on them, and then you write them. So my grade for him was just a notch below those other two. Well, then I go back through all my notes, and I'm writing up my summary. I'm going, that's a good, positive, okay, freak, dynamic, special.
Yeah.
Wow, this reads a little better than the grade that I've given him.
On Neighbors?
But that being said, he's like some guy. You know, one of the things with him is he'll let balls travel into his chest, but he doesn't drop the ball.
You know where I have Neighbors right now?
Two? One? Yeah, but number one.
Number one player.
That's bold. I like it.
Well, I don't think Caleb is Caleb is not the best player in the draft. Well, he may be. Just some of the tape bothered me this year.
Yeah.
And so I went back to last year.
Are you worried about all the extending, all the play exhaustion?
I want to see him keep it on schedule a little bit.
Do you want to do story time real quick?
Can I
just read you my I'll read you my report and then you can give me your real time reaction.
Okay?
Turn the fire on.
Yeah, turn the fire on if you need to. Gather around the speaker here. And Uncle Daniel is about to read your report from Caleb Williams.
All right, guys, here we go. Williams has average height and a thick, muscular build. I feel like I should be doing this in like a Liam Neeson's voice. He's a natural thrower. He delivers the ball with accuracy and velocity from a variety of platforms and arm angles. He can power the ball into tight windows while stationary or on the move. He can also finesse the ball when needed. That's a big part of the evaluation. He has lightning quick hands in the RPO game. He's a dynamic runner, makes defenders look silly in space. He can run by you, through you, or make you miss. He did fall into some bad habits at USC during the 23 season. He hunts big plays and always looks to exhaust plays with his legs instead of taking checkdowns. Also, he can get too loose with the ball when creating, swinging it wildly, which leads to fumbles. His creativity makes him special, but he will need to play more on schedule at the next level. Overall, Williams has areas in which he needs to improve, but he has franchise-altering upside.
I have him number three. I mean, everything that you said, I saw. I went in thinking I might have him higher based on last year's tape, but he had some of the same. There are still some things in last year's tape where I'm so gun shy after. I'll never forget being at NFL Films with Ron Jaworski and Greg Cosell, and we were doing this mock draft thing at NFL Films, and it was 14 when Johnny Johnny Manziel was coming out. And I was just, boy, Johnny Manziel, this, that, and the other. And there was somebody else there at the table, too. And it's like a mock draft that they have. And I was talking about, you know, he's just special. He can do this and that. And it was, Jaw said, well, let's go upstairs and let's go watch some of together. I said, great. Jaw set the trap. We went up there, and that's when I realized with watching with Jaws how important having that game tape was, because you see that he was not an anticipatory thrower at all. Needed everything to come off schedule. And the one thing that bothered me with Caleb is I felt like there were some times, like you said, instead of just playing first read, or playing to keep the sticks moving and let's go, let's get into a rhythm, he just was playing such hero balls, maybe not fair. And I know he felt the pressure to do so, but that was something that bothered me. But the thing that separates him and Drake May for me is that Drake's got the best package of height, weight, you know, arm talent and all that stuff, or arm strength. But man, Caleb Williams, when he's on, when he does something, when he's on time and in rhythm in the pocket, the ball is just different coming out of his hands. I mean, he puts it into small spaces without even thinking twice. I just thought he was really special. I've got him as my third player. I got Marvin number two. But Neighbors, we just talked about Neighbors for a second. Neighbors has some freaky speed. He's a good contested catch guy. I don't know what the numbers are, but I remember Neighbors making some just headline catches. But to your point with Adunze, I thought Neighbors is a good contested catch guy. 60% is almost unheard of.
No, that's ridiculous.
For high contested catch guys. Now, do you ever get worried about guys who have to make too many contested catches? Because
yeah,
I thought he would glide almost daring contested catches because he knew he could win jump balls.
So, things on that. Number one, they throw a lot of back shoulders. So I think you can get in trouble on contested catch numbers when you get freaked out of, man, a lot of contested catches means he's covered. He's not getting away. He's not
his
separated.
Was intentional.
But his is a lot of back shoulder throws. Yes. That's how it's designed. I'm going to I want to just finish up the Caleb Williams thing real quick.
Yeah. Here.
But let me okay, I'm going to find this. Where is it? I'm curious. I'm now just pulling this up without having looked at it. But all right. Tell me a different quarterback. Ideal arm strength, size, mobility. Quick feet, fluid release, at his best driving the ball, generates outrageous velocity, can put the ball in tight windows, needs to improve on touch throws, but he can change ball speed, needs to throw with more anticipation or time he locks on, has room to improve overall ball placement. There are numerous drop balls by his receivers. Combination of athleticism, strength allows him to avoid free rushers and shake off tacklers, aggressive runner. Effective on design QB runs and scrambles. He isn't a finished product, but unlimited upside, provided his drafting team has some patience. That was Josh Allen.
Oh, yeah.
So at some point in time, you just the talent, like the he's such a natural talent of like the athlete. And one of the things
he's more polished than Josh was too.
No, I know. Yeah. And I mean, there's just as a thrower, it is every kind of throw. He can do it and he makes it look easy. And this isn't hyperbole because there is, I wish he played on time. Trust me, that would make the evaluation so much easier. He might have the quickest hands of any quarterback I've ever
evaluated. Isn't it amazing that when I started doing this for NFL back in the 14 season, 15 draft, top two quarterbacks were Jameis and Marcus Mariota. And Marcus was, you know, you couldn't figure out Marcus a little bit because he was, you know, on a gimmicky offense and Jameis is pro style. This is how this is what you look for. It's easy to do an evaluation. Fast forward to the 2024 draft, and man, hand quickness and RPO stuff is incredibly important. The ability to fake and then whip it out to the outside for a little wide receiver screen, like all of that, the footwork and hands working in tandem to get quick game going, that's something I would have never thought about writing up because it was such a college element years ago. I remember when you and I was giving you – I was giving you snaps for quarterbacks of pistol, under center, and shotgun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now we don't even see pistol anymore. And now it's mostly gun. It's going to be like 70-plus gun.
Again, this is a free-flowing conversation here, so hope you guys enjoyed it. I get tangents. But three quarterbacks, I want you to stack them for your grades, okay? You ready? RG3, Marcus Mariota, Jaden Daniels.
Coming out?
coming, your grades coming out.
Okay, so it would have been RG3, Jaden Daniels, and then Marcus Mariota had back into the first. I wasn't as high.
Exactly the same.
My problem with him was he's a conservative blackjack player, meaning he could see where he was being baited and he would hold off, which I love that. That's why his interception totals were low. But he also couldn't. He didn't want to hit on 16. Yeah. Like sometimes you got to take shots.
Yeah, Justin Fields has a little bit of that.
Yeah, yeah, and I think once you have that, it's hard to get out of it. It's kind of the woe versus go versus woe scenario. But I'm a big Jaden Daniels fan. I feel like
him too, man.
If he were 225 pounds, I think we'd be having an interesting number one conversation.
I know one thing. I've got Drake May at 4 and him at 5. I've said they're going to travel together through the process, and we'll sort it out by the time we get to the draft. But I know, being down here in Mobile, NFL's down here, a lot of friends down here in pretty high up positions in these organizations, and there's love on these streets for Jaden Daniels.
I can tell you, I talked to an NFL guy today who thinks that May could be the guy who falls in this draft. He compared him to Levis and could be. Now, I don't think that's going to happen, but this is a guy who I think is a pretty good evaluator, and he thinks that I said, what about Jaden Daniels? He goes, Jaden's really talented, because he's the rare dual. He's the rare dual threat quarterback who he's as good in the pocket beating you.
Yeah,
as
no, he is can on play the there. Yeah, he can play on time, on schedule, yeah. Accurate, all that jazz.
Yeah, watching him, I was very pleased with what I saw. And you and I have talked about this, Bo Nix. I mean, we got more time to get into this stuff, but I think Bo Nix is going to surprise a lot of people who just wrote him off after Auburn and they don't really pay attention to Pac-12 football. Bo Nix had a really good season.
Yep,
at all the different metrics you can look for.
No doubt. All right. We gave you a little taste there. You can find the top 50. Just go to NFL.com. You will locate it there. You can read all the summaries on these.
We making changes after Senior Bowl?
I usually wait a couple weeks after Senior Bowl, usually right before the combine. I'll do an update once I get a bunch
of notes. Yeah, but you've got notes you're putting in your computer.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I've got a good story note on here, but I'm saving for the combine. A little teaser. All right, Lance, you're a trooper, buddy. Thank you for doing this. I really appreciate it. All right, that's it. We will we'll catch you next time right here on the Loose Sticks.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200,000 for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.